Time one over, beginning of time one over, and beginning of the visit with Leonard and Rick and Faye this Sunday afternoon, the 13th of August, 72. This beginning of the visit with Leonard, the first time he ever talked in the kitchen. This Sunday afternoon, the 13th of August, 72. Channel one over, beginning of the visit with Leonard. This Sunday afternoon, the 13th of August, 72.
On that. But she likes Suzanne.
Yeah. Mary said what?
She said if Suzanne would take a trailer out there and put it out beside her house and live out there, that'd be the best thing that ever happened.
I think it's been good from Suzanne.
Probably.
Yeah, it would. Go tell her what she learned.
She's at least be entertained, wouldn't she?
Oh, goodness. Mm. All the time. Haven't found anything over towards McAnopy?
No.
I wouldn't know how to go about looking for a place over there.
At McAnopy?
Yeah.
Just talking to people, I guess. We looked around, talked to Wade, you know. He looked up a couple of places, but I don't know. I'm going to be in school. I really can't afford what they were asking.
In McAnopy?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think it'd be high there.
Well, so I'm going to have to find some kind of job or something. I don't know.
Oh.
Part-time.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a loan I have to pay off.
Well, I heard you were wealthy.
Yeah, you must have.
Never talked about money, did it, right?
No, no, never heard him talk about money.
They had a scholarship over there for him. Put in a couple hundred dollars, and I never could get him over there to sign up for it.
Oh.
Well, I guess a whole lot was going on, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't really. Didn't know what was coming off, really.
Cookie was just out here.
Yeah.
He was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good bit.
This is his last day here. Yeah? He's going up to West Virginia. You know how he says, in the morning he's going to leave here at 7 o'clock and he'd be there for supper.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Push his chair under his mama's table.
11 o'clock, he'd be eating. Yes.
Mm.
So.
I just telling Rick, he, was out there fiddling around with that thing. And, he's pretty good mechanic. I was thinking how nice it'd be if he worked with Cookie. Cookie's the best to work with that I ever had. It's easy to work with him. It's pleasant to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he's pretty good too, you know. For you know shade tree stuff. I don't know. Reading the book, I think he probably would. Well, he can do everything out here that we need to do.
But you never felt frustrated when you were working with Cookie.
Oh, no. Never, never. It was always, always pleasant.
A good talk.
That's one reason I got the place to start with. I thought I could get some of my friends. I knew people all over the county then. I worked with them to live out here and sort of keep it going. But the way it worked out was they wanted me to sort of pay them to stay out here and then me settle all the bills and buy all the animals, you see.
Yeah.
So. They had me. They got my number. found anyone. I never even come close to it. Anyone who would even take an interest in the place. They'd all try to beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Oh yeah, we weren't gonna, you know, we were just, I wasn't gonna do the work out here.
Oh, I had no pretension of being able to carry on a place like this, and still don't, you know.
No.
Now you all find a place to live?
No. Uh-uh.
I guess that trailer of Kings was rented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I could stand it in right there close to the campus anymore or not. It's much, I just wouldn't want to see that much of it.
Yeah, I don't either. Place. Not after 4 years of it.
You up there 4 years?
Yeah. Two right on campus because you had to live in the dorms back in those days.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, before they started getting a little more liberal anyway.
Your apartment's way out now. Got down South 441 is a big set that went in. And way west on University there's a lot. All brand new.
Yeah, brand new prices.
Oh? I haven't kept
sure.
up with the rent.
They used to be cheap.
Oh, but they're not anymore. We had the cheapest place in Gainesville, where we lived for 2 years, and it was $100 a month.
Oh.
What was that?
It was between Archer and Wollaston Road.
Uh-huh.
Back in the woods there, but they started building in there last year, too. Got a bunch of, about 300 or 400 apartments. That, you know, that valley, what is it they call it? I forget what they're calling it now, TVA or something.
Isn't there a development corporation building back there?
Yeah, right.
Real
all fashion? In there.
Yeah, I've seen that. That used to be all woods. Now it is unbelievable. All these frame
about
apartments.
200 or 300 apartments going in.
Yeah.
You mean that was $100 for two of you?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
$150 a piece.
$50 a piece, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you have, just...
No, it's two bedrooms.
Two bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Or a house?
No, there were apartments a guy built by himself.
Oh.
There, he had about 8 of them.
That had a little place, but it was only $45 a month. I had it by myself. It was 2 rooms, period. No kitchen. We shared a bathroom.
So we had a kitchen and a bathroom and two bedrooms. And we looked around because the road was so bad, you know, going out there, dirt road was...
Uh-huh.
Pit and everything. So we lived out there when I was a junior, and then last summer we looked around to try to find another place. You know, couldn't find. We looked, you know, all over town as far as that goes. Couldn't find
a little trail park near there, isn't it?
Up there. Yeah, Mobile City. It's over near that, back in there.
I think they used to rent trailers back in there.
Yeah, they've expanded too. They were building on one side of the guy, and the apartments came in on the other. So he sold out.
Wow.
I just saw in the paper some new things going up on that Newberry 75 cut off there at Newberry Road. The cheapest one-room bedroom was $140.
Yeah.
So I guess that's about the
way that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
That's about average, really, for one bedroom, these new ones.
Well, it's cheaper living in the dorm, isn't it? It's expanded.
Yeah. That's like being in the Army.
Well, I would just imagine there'd be any number of people who'd be glad to rent a room.
I know, that's why I came to see you.
In Micanopy. I don't know anybody in Micanopy, but I just imagine. Selma Myers was wrong with that big old house. You know, you just imagine it would be. Probably not.
It's a huge one. They couldn't possibly live in all of it.
And McIntosh is just one big, huge house after the other with one old lady living in it. One to the house. Bedroom after bedroom.
Who watched these dishes? Did I?
Yep, sure did.
I don't remember
doing
that.
Oh, I didn't. Trouble with me is I don't know these people out here, you know, in the towns. I don't know who they are.
I'd run into a fellow who had rented a little cottage over in Mekinopi one by the other day, and they torn the cottage down. He never knew anybody over there, though. That Earth Founder is open, you might be able to ask him there. But that's not open right now, I don't think. But those fellows all live around Mekinopi.
Yeah.
Oh, these old vines are going to shade us out or shade us in one of these days. Look at there, how thick that's getting.
I didn't know whether you like to keep the trailer open so that people came, like Rick, or...
Well, it's used almost all the time, right?
Yeah.
You see Suzanne writes out there when she comes.
That's
Rick
what I was wondering.
That's the way that is, and the house, and the same thing we, you know, in the house.
Yeah.
It seems silly, but that's, you know, it's just all I would choose. As far as I, you know, as a point of, we all have to spread out.
About the only people I see now, the ones who are writing, actually doing something.
And we try to keep it available for them when they get here. Rick was out there writing, Suzanne in here in the mother's room writing, and I was in the front room typing, and Guy in his room typing, and somebody else was upstairs typing. You see, this is what goes on out here, pretty much. Nobody plays.
Well, I've tried to sort of keep it open for the people who just want to come and go and not do anything. But it tied me down so I didn't have any help.
And about the time we get ready to do a little work, well, somebody come up to ride the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took me out of circulation. It took me away from what I was doing and everybody else. And so we just had to sort of put our minds on working this summer. So that's the way that is.
You weren't over there on the Tone Along, were you?
Let's see. About a month and a half.
You didn't get into anything about interesting?
No, it wasn't what I wanted exactly.
Too much Daytona?
Well, too much Daytona and, I don't know, newspaper, maybe it's just not my thing, you know. There's another guy over there that had his master's in magazine journalism. And, you know, he was thinking maybe going to work for Newsweek eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought he'd come down here and work a year and then work at a larger paper here and then go to Newsweek. And he came down there and started working and he just found out, you know, journalism, that's just not what he wanted.
He got all the way through a master's?
Yeah. Well, he had his bachelor's in English. He just sort of went through, didn't know what he was going to do. And then he got his master's in that. And then he decided, after he started working, that wasn't what he wanted.
Well, what's wrong with gym lessons?
I don't know. Some people like it. Nothing, I guess.
Well, what I mean is, what is it? So I don't know what you do. See, I wasn't over there.
What I do? What I did? Just, it's mostly covering meetings and, you know, writing obits, things like that. Small place.
Well, that sounds right interesting. You get to go a lot of places? See a lot of people?
Yeah, you get to go a lot of places and meet a lot of people, and they're all, you know.
They're all what?
They're just all people.
Not very.
Not very interesting.
Well, what do you think I run into?
I don't know. What do you run into?
Mostly flat-headed.
Well, that's, I
bench
guess.
Bench sitters.
Yeah, well.
What I generally run into.
Bench sitters. Huh?
They got no notion, you see, that contributed anything. They just sat there and pass judgment on what takes place.
That'd be something to have to report on people like that.
Yeah, well, you go to the opposite extreme. You get these people that are so caught up in local politics that, you know, they can't see beyond that. Everybody's trying to screw over somebody else. And the thing is, when you go out and cover these things, you don't know what you're talking about half the time, because you're no authority on the subject. I mean, you may go out and cover a meeting on the tax, some kind of tax law one time, and then another meeting on some kind of zoning another time, and you really never become, you know, authority in any field. It's just...
And you expected to write up something.
Yeah, so you expected to write up and explain to all these people what's going on.
Yeah.
And you're not really, you don't know yourself, so you just kind of fudge it along. That's why newspapers have such a bad reputation for being wrong.
Do they?
Yeah.
They don't admit it, though, out of it.
Oh, no, they won't admit it. They'll say, you know, all this and that.
I wondered about that. You just, you know, you couldn't know about all the topics.
We'll see. That's the thing. That's what they do. They don't want you to become an expert on a certain field, because they feel that that ties you down, and yet you're not an authority enough on, you know, general things you cover to write well about them.
Oh, is that right? They're like seers. They don't want you to know anything about
that's
plumbing
right.
If you're going to work in a plumbing department.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because if you become an expert, like there was this woman that was a science writer over there, and she worked down at the Cape until they started cutting back on the contracts, and then they moved her back up to the main office in Daytona. So they had her just doing general assignment, and she said if she had gone anywhere else, she was about, oh, I don't know, 40-something. She said if she had gone anywhere else looking for a job, they would have said, you know, we can't use you because your background is too technical and you're too old.
You know too much.
That's right.
And too old.
And then on the other hand, you know, you don't know enough. These young people coming in don't know enough to write well about things like taxes, and so you're in a bind.
But that's the way they like it.
Evidently. And then people say, well, your newspaper is always wrong, and they can't figure out why people say that.
What did you get in on over there? What did you report on?
I was covering the courthouse annex. I was a tax assessor, tax collector. Oh, there's a list about that long.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just can't get into any of it. Just touch on a little bit of each one.
And you went in and asked them for new handouts?
Yeah, that's the only thing you can do. You go in and if they're... You know, if they know what's going on, they'll give you some kind of handout. It's just like doing public relations for the JCs. The JCs have these little contests and things, and they send you material, and so you just type it up, and it's like doing a public relations piece for the JCs or the Chamber of Commerce or the tax assessor, because you don't know what's going on. You don't have a chance to find out that much about each topic.
They don't want you to find out much.
No, they don't.
Well, that's something.
They're like Sears.
It's like Sears.
That's not how that's what they do.
They don't put television people in the television department.
They put camera people in clothing and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then they shift them.
Well, they'll have one person who's a city hall reporter, and he covers city commission meetings, and he's an authority on that. But every paper has one of those, so if, you know, if he decided he wanted to go somewhere else, he'd really have a hard time finding a position. Because everybody has an expert on a city hall, their city hall.
Oh, they've got some well-informed people.
They have one on the city hall. Well, this paper had one city hall reporter, and that's all he did. And then they had...
How did he know what was going on?
Yeah, because he's been there 12 years.
Yeah.
Just covering the city commission, things like that. And then they had one, a police reporter that had been there for 5 years. And so she knew, had a lot of contacts with the police department, sheriff and all that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to that, because all you go is down there, go down there and look at their reports every morning, and if there's a car accident with over $1,000 damage, or if there's a robbery over $1,000 damage, you take and write that up, or if there's some kind of narcotics arrest, you write that up.
And that's just from the report.
Just from their reports, they bring out these three boards at the police station, and you file through them, you know.
Oh, they're open to the public? They don't ever see the officer who arrested them?
No.
Well, that's something. Just all...
Just all paperwork. Not police. That one was, anyway.
Well, do you read the newspapers?
I try not to now.
Can you...
I'm going back to reading the funnies after this experience.
Can you tell when you read an article what they know about it?
Yeah, you can easily tell when they're, you know, fudging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And start repeating themselves.
Now I noticed the Sun putting out a lot of specials. From the Sun reporters, not from student reporters. You know, whole big sheet on winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things that happen around the area.
But those things, they never know anything about it. It's that's a huge waste of time.
Yeah, that's true. There were several pictures. There was a whole big sheet, and there were several pictures of going to Windsor store and the Windsor trees, and it was about that much right up. And, you know, you could have written it without it ever. Maybe she didn't even go down there. She just looked in a little handbook.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it's, you know, you wonder why a paper puts that in.
Well, this editor that we had, he said, I want you to do a summer vacation article on the places around Daytona Beach that don't cost much. You know, to go and see, like, they have some ruins and a sugar mill and a couple of parks. So, you know, there's five or six things. They don't want you to go out and go to each one of these things and write up your impressions, do a feature type thing. What you have to do is just go back and look in the library and, you know, like you said, these little clip files that they keep.
Oh, yeah.
On this park and these ruins and, you know, so it's secondhand information. Another thing is, like, if you cover a meeting, you go back and you look in the clip files. They keep clippings, you know, on every topic. Go back and look in the clip files, and the person that covered this meeting, say last week, maybe they continued the same topic. you look back and see how he explained it, and then you just sort of copy what he said. And he's done that, you know, when he covered the meeting, he did the same thing with if somebody else had covered the meeting before him. So you get third and fourth hand material.
It's all been done before.
Now say that again. What's all the meeting you're talking about?
I covered a city commission meeting one time, and they were talking about a tax on this oil, fuel oil tax. And they'd been talking about it for 2 or 3 months, you know, whether they were going to pass it or not. So what I did to get the background on it so I'd know what they were talking about, I looked at the person who covered the last meeting, a clip on that. And I got my information from that. Well, this guy that had covered the meeting then, to get his background, he had looked at the guy who covered the meeting before him. And it just keeps going back like that, you know. So you get. So when I wrote mine, it had been written up 3 times before, you know, the same explanation.
You just add a little bit to what they say.
Just add a little bit from your meeting to what's been already been said.
And then you give the history of it.
Which has already been done 3 times in the previous meeting.
But no one ever complained?
No, I don't know if anyone ever reads
that. Or they read the headline?
I don't know. You talk to people and they'd say, oh, that paper, I can go through that paper in, you know, 7 or 8 minutes. I'd say maybe on average it was 40 pages, you know, a day, is what they put out in an edition.
What?
They'd have
that big?
Yeah. 2 sections. And they'd say, oh, I can go through that in 7 or 8 minutes. We'll see what they do. If they just, you know, read a little bit of national news and maybe the funnies and the sports. Not that many people read the local things, and yet that's what they emphasize. Local news, meetings, and...
Yeah.
And if you went out into the community, I'm sure, and talked to people, they wouldn't know, you know, what was going on as far as the county commission, or... Probably don't care. Unless it affects them directly, like if they're going to zone a shopping center next to their house. That's the only time that people come to the meetings.
Now that's a little bit considerable, a little bit late.
Yeah, because it's already been decided usually by the time they have a public hearing they've got together.
Well, don't they prepare you for this in your courses? What to expect?
No, they don't. They teach you, you know, how to write a news story, and they teach you law of the press, you know, so you don't libel somebody. They teach you all the skills involved, but you don't really know what it's like working for a newspaper until you do it.
Well,
you know, it sounds just like saying he's a journalist. That sounds glamorous and exciting. You know, you think of war correspondence and this and that. The majority of it's just like anything else, I imagine.
Well, they don't tell you in your news story just to look up what the last fellow said.
No, they don't tell you that at school.
They figure you'll find that out.
That's right.
You know, one of the curious things that I found, I thought the preachers, you know, they've got so many ceremonies to preside over marriage and death and christenings and just, you know, endless. And I asked one of them, somewhere along the line, I said, you take a course in all these things in theological school? He says, all we do is study theology.
That's right.
And we pick this up after we get out here all by themselves.
Did you have any feelings in your month and a half that you'd like to sort of revolutionize the newspaper or get in and do something?
Yeah, but see, that's... I mean, they tell you that in school, you know, don't expect to go out and try to change anything. So you go out and you can't change anything. They're right about that.
Well, I thought, I don't know, I didn't know what it was. Did it pay pretty well?
No. Journalism pays one of the poorer paying professions.
Still.
The average starting salary for a reporter on a large paper in Florida is $150 a week.
5 days a week?
Yeah, but you know, like if there's a riot and they need you, you're kind of on call all the time.
Oh?
40-hour week, though, usually.
$150.
That's on a big newspaper.
That's on the larger ones.
Well, you see, Laura makes more than that. We're in the hospital.
Oh, well, I know. I was making, that's on large newspapers now. Daytona Beach, I was making $120 a week.
Yeah.
And that was 97 after taxes. And I'm making more than that working at selling campers and doing maintenance.
Well, there's a demand for campers.
Well, there's demand for newspapers, evidently. People buy them to line their garbage pails or train the dog.
But they don't burn much out of them.
Evidently not. The most I ever read newspapers is like if sometimes we'll be working inside the house and you put newspapers on the floor to paint the wall.
Yeah.
And I have to see an article, you know, and get to read it. But every day, you know, they, I don't know.
I notice every now and then they put in something about making over, but it's never interesting. You wouldn't say it's not truthful, but it's just not worth mentioning.
Yeah, they put this house moving on the front page. But you just had to see them then.
Well, the thing with newspapers are they're mostly spot news. And like I said, if you're a reporter, you really half the time you don't know what you're writing about. And so the reader, you know, he's not going to learn anything by reading what you've written.
Yeah.
It'd be better for him to go out and buy a book on the subject if he wants to find out about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my experience in books is they don't know too much either.
Well, you run into, you get to the point where nobody knows too much about it.
There's a way of having big ideas with very little content. I guess what you do in the books, you just sort of weigh yourself down to where you're. You don't really care too much about it now.
Got all those pages to fill up, I guess.
Yeah. With all the fine subjects that are just going to waste. Begging.
That's right, that you could fill a newspaper with.
Well, this paper had a policy that they didn't like you to do features, you know, like the one I did on Cookie and this and that. They didn't like that. Their idea of a feature was maybe 10 column inches or something like that, some little short thing that they'd use for filler. And if you did a feature and turned it in, they'd save it and use it to, you know, like if one day they didn't have enough news, they might stick it in, but they'd file it away. And people like, you know, that's what people like to read, I think, are the features. This friend of mine was working over there. He did a feature on this old guy that was living in Daytona, and he was in a wheelchair, and he had maybe 3 heart attacks, and he couldn't get around. He was living in a little one-room place, and he used to be some kind of big wheel in the syndicate in Miami. And he was making so many, you know, 1,000 a week. And the syndicate was grossing so many million a year. And what he did was, for some reason or other, he went and testified before the Senate and helped to break up the syndicate in Miami. And now he was living on you know, welfare, and they had cut his check down to $8 a week or something like that. So he'd been calling the newspaper like for 2 or 3 months. You know, they didn't pay attention to him. They said, oh, I'm just some crazy guy. So they happened to call one day, and his friend of mine answered the phone, so he checked it out, and everything the guy said was true. You know, he testified before Kefauver, and he had pictures on his wall of, you know, Kefauver, where they had dinner together and this and that. And so he did a feature on it. It turned out to be 8 typewritten pages on this news stuff they type on about like that. When he turned it in, the city editor goes, you know, they all started laughing. They said, what are you doing, writing a novel, you know? And they chopped it all to pieces. Very sad.
Hey, pages like that take up a lot of room, that paper, wouldn't it?
It might take up half a page, you know. You know how it's folded, the paper's folded in half.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe half.
Including the pictures.
Yeah. Not that much space on 8 pages.
Yeah.
Because that's small, yeah, that's right. So they just don't ask for much. They don't want
much. They don't want much. They want reporting. They don't want writing.
Well, I don't think anybody wants much. It's just let the system ride along, rock along. Suzanne did this little piece on lums, and then she used to try to talk about horses, and I would leave the room. I just couldn't stand that Suzanne talking about horses. You see, it's just like me talking about bicycles. I don't know anything about them. And this time she started, and it caught me. Well, that's what happened with lums. She was talking about lums, and she'd never been in. She was doing it from Jim. Jim worked down there 3 or 4 months. Jim don't report. He just grunts. And she had just listened to those little grunts over some period. And she had a beautiful notion of what went on at lunch. She just put it together. I mean, she didn't do it systematically. She just did it. Well, then I don't know how the horse, yes, the horses came up. I had been critical of, you know, that horse, that Bubba.
Yeah.
And the last sort of horse they needed to see, they got Bubba the colt, and he's ignorant. They were just as ignorant as he was. He couldn't teach them, and they couldn't teach him. Hey, what? They put him out here. I ran him off from here, you see. I got tired looking at it. And they put him in this little stable out here. And they went out there systematically every afternoon, spent an hour or two. And I thought to myself, well, what in the world could they possibly do out there? Well, Suzanne started talking about it here one day. And I could see the direction of it. She stayed out there, and wherever she goes, she sees what goes on. You know, she sees certain things. And she set it down. Now, there's a picture of what goes on out there and how they treat the horses and all. And I thought, wouldn't this be remarkable? Someone could look at this, and they could see that this is what they don't want, is to get a horse. And I was thinking of Cookie handling horses. And then some of these other people we see, the professional people down here. And you know, she did it very nicely. We passed it around. I got no interest in it whatever. None whatever. But what I could see in it was this, you see. At your age, well, there are a lot of things you wouldn't see in the framework. You probably wouldn't see too well as someone who'd been in it a little longer. But as to what goes on, you can find out that better than I can. And that's what I said. I wrote a little note to this and said that people like that can be our eyes and ears, you see, if we could just fend for them and not put them through all these darn seminars and stuff they had with bibliographies. And just let them report. And one of the things you hear over and over again is, you see, in our time, you see, nobody knows anything that's going on. They live in the suburbs and they don't know what the suburbs like.
They only know what goes on the newspapers, just like you
report.
That's
right.
Well, that's right.
I mean, you could put
right.
that down and let, you know, it could, and you could see, we could see from what you have learned, like Rick and his Winn-Dixie.
Oh, yes. Well, you can go out, yes, just on your own, at your leisure almost. I think you need to work with somebody. I don't think an individual can do anything much anymore. There's too many things. I think you've got to work with somebody who's farther along, and you've got to work with other people, you see, that you can work with, sort of, and do some shop talk. And you get away from this quipping and Freudian sort of talk that dominates the campus, and I think it dominates professional people, but I don't know about them. That is, there's not much. You see, you're talking about newspapers now. Well, to me, that's a whole lot. I'd rather do that than just chatter. You see, Cookie, anything comes up, he can pick it up and take it into his experience, and it's interesting. And the countryside, that's what I've done out here, mostly listen to the countryside. And it's always interesting, always. And they always talk about the experience, and the experience is information, it's informative. But once you get a certain distance along, you see, the talk disintegrates. Now, I think they read the countryside. I think, you see, I don't take them in all their aspects, you understand? If I took them as the ones who took care of this road out here, I'd chew them up most of the time, see. But that's the countryside, you see, that works this road out here. And you take them in an economic way or in politics, or you see that thing that Flannery O'Connor did. You see those stories of hers, so many of them are on the countryside. That thing about the displaced person. This man from Poland brought over here, you see, to work on this farm. And the country people who are running the farm, you see, would displace themselves pretty soon. But her handling of those country people took them into that West, where they were reacting, you see, to somebody from Poland, and they don't know anything about that. And they'll have curious notions. and she takes them, and she takes the religious side out of it too. And you see, that's you see, they are actually all learned subjects, and people have to talk about religion and displaced persons who are, you know, you might say PhDs, or who are learned, who are scholarly. And, but, you see, the people I work with are scholarly enough. They can get into all these subjects. And find out more, you see. Rick was working on, he was sort of brought up Winn-Dixie. I didn't realize he had so much of that in his blood. He's bag boy, and nobody knows what bag boys do. And when he was sitting there one night, just talking about it, and I was just fascinated. Just plain common everyday talk about what bag boys do.
Uh-huh. It's amazing.
I go into big stores and I'm lost. You see, there's no one I can talk to. I can't even ask them where the vinegar is. And if you try to talk to them, you see, all they do is put you off, because they don't have time to talk.
Take somebody on there. He's done it. He's been on the inside.
So that's you could get into it just a little bit more. You see, these are the other professions, as far as I can see, aren't any better.
That's the rub.
Well, they all seem, you know, everything that you do, you don't realize it, but from the outside, but everything has their own little political order, you know. Everything has their little office politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether you're working, you know, digging ditches or...
That's right.
Everything has their pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Something of the sort. Yeah.
You can either operate within it, you know, or if you try to operate against it, you know.
What I have seen, you know, just from watching these students, this whole thing that...
I don't call people students.
Is that it enables you, and if you look at it, like Rick looks at Winn-Dixie, it enables you to see what's in it, and then...
Use it.
You can use it, and you can work within it, but you can still look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now the market for it, you see, that's it. And I don't know, there ought to be a market for it. Now that thing on your report. Now what I was put out with you the other night, what you were doing, you see, I jumped him. You see, I jump people when I work with them, except you. You see, you're so slippery.
I'm hard to find.
that you never there. But they need it. Now, you see, he had a hold. He reported on this town council over there at Meganopi. In here at supper. As best thing he'd done. And he worked it around old Hootenanny, who's a screwball.
Shimlin.
But he got three incidences of it, and around those three instances, you see, he can report the thing. In other words, you're not just telling what happened there. He's handled the end times of Shimwell, and he don't have to talk about Shimwell much. He had a hold of it. Well, now what did he do? He mixed his worlds. He went out circulating, but he didn't go out there in Shimwell's world to circulate. He went up there in that pot-smoking world to circulate, and over there in my world, you see, was the Dodge. And he started telling me about the Dodge, and that's, he don't know much about them, you see. I can tell him. Well, I didn't know about the tools. He did see. That's one nice thing about it. See, he saw Mr. Dodd with tools. And see, Mr. Dodd is an expert with tools. So you wonder whose tools he uses.
Quite a mess.
But you got to get the swing. But see, he had a hold of that town meeting. The town council had a hold of it, and he dropped it for these other things. And now you see, that happened a Monday ago, now tomorrow will be a week, and he still hadn't got anything on it.
Yep.
And it's the only thing he made contact with since he's been here. I mean, he made contact with that, as he reported on it here. And in a way, I'd never seen Don.
It happens time and time and time again. I'm sort of on the outside, but I can see it happen with Suzanne, happens with everybody who works with it. They'll get us something up to just the way you had the town council, but they won't use it. They won't see it through. I mean, I don't say won't, but they don't.
They
don't make something of it. And then you've got just a little series of little reports, and that's nothing. You got to make something of it.
There's a point there where you got to push.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain push.
So you can use it.
And it invariably happened with Suzanne. She'd get something going, and then she'd get such a backlog of things, it'd depress her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, always at loose ends. Well, that's an experience, but it's painful. It's not a pleasant thing. And I do the same thing. I mean, it's common.
Oh, well, I do. But that's only one reason for having, you know, a dog to nip at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only reason that I see.
Yeah, I don't believe you can get along without the old city editor.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to nip at you.
And the old publishers, you see, the old editors of the publishing companies, I didn't realize how much, what a hand they had in the books that Hemingway wrote.
This guy I know went to Syracuse, and he had a teacher that had worked for Collier's and had done a lot of editing on Hemingway's stuff, and he was telling him, you know, that they really had to clean it up. It was unbelievable how much effect they had on, you know, the stuff he turned in.
Yeah.
And they said, when he was covering World War II for Collier's, and they were paying him like $3,000 a week, some of the trash he sent in was unbelievable.
Yeah. Most of his care.
I think so. He's having a good time. But, yeah, you don't realize how much well, people that read newspapers don't realize how much of that is the editor and how much is the reporter. Because, like, you can do a good article on something and have it cut up.
Yeah.
Or you can do a bad one and have it come out, you know, average. Or
yeah.
You see, this is why I don't listen to recordings very much anymore. I don't want the fella in the control up there telling me how Beethoven all sounds. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
I've almost discarded listening to
recordings.
Oh,
that's right.
If he thinks a forte ought to be piano, he does it.
Well, he's turning it down. Yeah, you get these guys that a lot of this popular music, and they'll go in and cut five or six tracks, and then they'll go into the mixing and mix these things, and they come out great. But when they were doing it, wow.
Yeah.
They never play anywhere live, you know.
That's it.
Runs through these bibliographies, they run through me. Guess I better go in there and hit it.
Yeah. You just gotta put the town council on the table.
Yeah, I gotta sit out there somewhere.
Well, we got those jiggers off, didn't we?
Yeah, it'd be a lot quicker if we took the bolts the right way.
Oh.
Well, that's around 900, time went over, and the end of the visit with Leonard, with Rick and Hunk. This Sunday afternoon, right after lunch, the 13th of August, 72. Channel went over around 900, and then the visit was Leonard. The first time he ever talked. This Sunday afternoon, the 13th of August, 72.